So first of all, just want to thank everyone for coming today. I know it's the last session of Ignite. Hopefully all of you learned a lot during the week. I learned a lot myself. And so we have got a great session today just to go through all of the configuration and change management capabilities we have inside of Operations Management Suite. So first off, my name is Eamon O'Reilly. I'm a program manager on the Automation and Control Service inside of Operations Management and Security. And with me is Lavanya Krishnan.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for coming today.
And so today we're going to talk about configuration and change management in Operations Management Suite and some of the new capabilities we offer inside of here to really allow you to get control of your environment and actually set the right configuration, the right desired state you need inside your environment so you can actually manage it in a consistent way. But one of the reasons it's kind of a new set of capabilities is we've actually started to think about how do we build a set of management capabilities that runs from the cloud that allows you as customers, as you start thinking of moving to the cloud, to give you that hybrid management across your on-premises infrastructure as well as your cloud assets. And so that really becomes a challenge that we've tried to solve with operations management and security so that you can now get the visibility across your environment but also now the ability to take control of that environment so that no matter where your assets live, you could have virtual machines or databases on your on-premises environment, as well as inside of Azure or even third-party clouds, you now have the ability to actually take control of those. And the control and configuration isn't just about the infrastructure. Obviously, that's the first thing you need to be able to manage and deliver to your end users. But that control and configuration is really about your applications as well. And so now you'll be able to get not just the visibility on your infrastructure applications, the ability to set the desired state configuration and quickly deploy those out throughout the entire lifecycle. And so what a lot of kind of configuration is about is how do you build out your infrastructure, deliver those virtual machines, deliver those databases, deliver those services to your end user. And so you think about the entire lifecycle. We spend a lot of time in the automation and control area thinking about how do you build your infrastructure, how do you manage it, but also how do you get control and configuration set on top of that. And so that's what we're going to go deep into today. The rest of operations management security really covers the rest of the lifecycle inside of everything you'd want to do. And so that consists of protection, security, as well as all the insights and analytics you would need. But when you think about automation control, obviously, we spend a lot of time thinking about how do we let you get control of these assets that are now hybrid across your environment and be able to set the right configuration. But really, it plays a critical role throughout the lifecycle of your application and services. And the reason for that is, as you start to gain insights into how your applications and infrastructure are performing, issues that might be coming up, security events that are happening, even trying to recover from disaster, you know, backing up environments, recovering those environments, typically you need to be able to control how that process is done. And so you need to have those orchestration capabilities that allows you as a customer throughout that lifecycle to integrate your automation and control processes into the rest of the lifecycle that happens as you go throughout the deployment. And so that's really where we spend a lot, our kind of second area of the time is ensuring we have deep integration throughout your entire lifecycle, not just at the build and configuration state, but integrated into the rest of the services inside of OMS so that you can take advantage of this automation and control throughout your environment. Some of the examples we put in there are things around update management, configuration management, but obviously recovering databases. All of this is integrated into each one of the areas of build, configure, deploy, secure, recover, and govern. Okay, so this slide really talks about automation and control all up. And so when we think about automation and control, we really want to kind of take a step back and set ourselves up for not just what we can do with your on-premises infrastructure and what you can do with your cloud infrastructure, but start to build out a real automation and control service that allows you to extend your capabilities beyond what you do today and offer increased productivity in how you actually manage all of these assets. And so there's three main areas that we have invested in around automation and control. The first that we're going to talk a lot about today is configuration management, and so that's what we're going to go deep in today. But there's two other areas in automation and control service that we've integrated all across, and that is process automation. So this is how do you orchestrate all of your environment? How do you integrate into all the management tools you have, as well as all the cloud infrastructure you have, so that you get unified control and you can orchestrate all of your processes that you need to deliver to your end users. And then update management is a specific area that we focus on because we know there's a lot of challenges, not just on your on-premises and ensuring those are meeting the compliance related to updates, but as you start to span across your environments, and now you have cloud virtual machines, and not just Windows, but Linux environments, how do you actually update and control those as well and get a single picture across everything, but actually the single control so that you can actually enforce all of the updates as well. And so that's kind of the third pillar we have inside of automation and control. And there's been deep dive sessions throughout the week on our process automation capabilities, our update management capabilities, and now we're going to go deeper into our configuration management capabilities. But the one thing I would take away from this presentation is, even though configuration management itself is a large area, we really wanted to integrate all of these things together because usually they're not done in isolation. As you're doing configuration, you want to integrate it into your third-party systems, your ITSM systems, as well as your update management system so that you get that unified control across everything. And the second thing I would take away is how we think about investments as we go forward. We're actually trying to make sure we have a consistent way, not just for your Windows environment, but for your Linux environment. You know, we've invested heavily in System Center in the past, but it's usually been around making sure your Windows environment is up to date. But as more and more enterprises start moving across clouds and the diversity of applications and management tools, Linux is also playing a key role, and that you need to be able to have management and control across that. And so everything we've done also, we've integrated Linux management throughout all of these capabilities. Okay, so for configuration management, I'm going to hand over to Lavanya, and she's going to go deeper into the configuration management capabilities we have, and then we're going to do some demos to kind of show you what you can actually use today, and then start taking advantage of the capabilities.
Thank you, Eamon. Good afternoon, everyone. Sorry, my mic was off when I greeted you all initially. Hopefully, everyone is able to hear my voice. If not, please do raise your hand. I'll try to speak a bit louder. As Eamon mentioned, automation and control, we have various features and functionalities that helps you to manage your infrastructure, take control of your infrastructure. Now, one of the biggest challenges for infrastructure management is having control over your environment, making sure you have consistent deployments, making sure you are able to monitor what's happening in your environment, and actually correcting anything that might go wrong. So the key thing is configuration management and change. Configuration management actually has two key features, powerful features, that work hand in hand in this infrastructure management. One is the desired state configuration, which actually allows you to configure your machines in consistent state that you want it to be. For example, if you want a web server, you can configure a node to be a web server by ensuring that IIS is installed. And you can keep that as a configuration and make sure that it's deployed that way and it's maintained that way, right? DSE keeps checking periodically based on your schedules to ensure that the machine is in that state throughout the time period you want it to be, right? And then you have change tracking, which basically allows you to monitor over your entire environment, have it under your control, keep looking for changes that might impact your infrastructure. Is everything going per your plan? Has something changed? Has something broken? Did any update happen that didn't go through your approval? So change tracking allows you to keep monitoring your system. And with the help of DSE, you can actually deploy, monitor, and update your infrastructure to the state that you want it to be. So DSE, what does it do? Like, it's powered by the PowerShell DSE that's available in your operating system. By default, you don't have to go purchase anything. It's part of the management framework. It comes out of the box to you. So the automation DSE is powered by the PowerShell DSE. It has all the capabilities offered by the PowerShell DSE, and we have added a layer of management that makes it easy for you to manage your infrastructure. It helps prevent any kind of drift in your configuration. If suddenly IIS is like uninstalled or corrupted, your DSE actually does a compliance check and tells you, gives you a report that something is wrong with this machine. Now you have two options, right? You can either just say, keep checking for compliancy and get back to me, let me know if something is wrong, Or you also have an option to say autocorrected, right? If there is not IIS present in this machine, please go and install IIS so it'll be a web server all the time. So we have a, it kind of enables a continuous deployment cycle, right? You can go from development to test to production seamlessly. So why do we have DSE as part of the automation, right? We need to make sure that only users who have access to your environment have access. You are able to control who does what to your environment. You can ensure that all the changes to your environment happens with your approval. You can make sure that nothing that you didn't plan for didn't happen. And you can also make sure that you can orchestrate the configuration per your specifications and make sure that it's consistently deployed across. You can have one configuration and deploy it across multiple nodes. So automation DSE kind of allows you to define the configuration and converts it into node configurations for you. And then it allows you to onboard any number of nodes to any particular node configuration and maintains those nodes in that particular configuration. And we do this for both Windows and Linux machines, right? You can manage both your Windows machines as well as your Linux machines. And the configuration, our authoring of the configuration is very simple, straightforward. And we do everything in the background for you to convert it into a node configuration and make sure that it's kind of deployed in all the machines, all the nodes that you want it to be deployed on. It can be done on a machine in cloud. It can be done on your on-prem machine. It can be done on Windows and Linux machines. Now, Eamon will walk you through more in depth about how you can use the automation runbooks with DSE to make this management experience more powerful.
Thanks, Avanya. So how many of you are familiar with the automation and control capabilities in OMS? So good, maybe like 20 or so. So what I wanted to do was just switch over really quickly and just let everyone know how you can get access to these capabilities inside of Azure so you can start taking advantage of everything we show you today. So I'm going to switch over for one quick second and just give you a quick idea of how you can get started. So there's all these challenges around how do I manage my environment, how do I configure it, but what we didn't want to do was create a challenge on how you can actually get the configuration automation service and actually start using it. And so one of the benefits of moving to our cloud-based service is that you can actually acquire it literally within seconds and start taking not just the visibility of your environment, but also the management of your environment all from the cloud. And so for hopefully some of you are familiar with the Azure portal, but inside the Azure portal, you can actually go and add services that you want to get access to. And so if I go to plus new, I can go to monitoring and management. I will click into see all. And right inside of here is the automation and control service. And so you can literally create this within a couple of minutes, and now you have the service available to you to actually start onboarding all of the machines, not just on premises, but also in Azure or other clouds, and actually take control of those using the automation and control service. And once you've deployed those, I will just go back to what you're going to see. So here's that automation account that was created once you've actually deployed the automation and control service. And what you'll see inside of here is this is the one place you can go to give you visibility across your organization related to changes that are happening, but also give you the ability to actually set what you want the desired state to be. And oftentimes, the biggest challenge is there's kind of this VM sprawl we used to have when we used to manage our on-premises. The similar type of thing is happening inside of the Azure environment or even third-party clouds. And as you, as an IT professional, how do you get control over those and be able to put your policies on them? And so what we have inside of the portal is what we call desired state configurations. And these give you the ability to state what you want to happen to every single machine that gets deployed inside your environment. And so one of the configurations might be as simple as to say, all I really want to do is every machine I have in my environment, I don't care if it's on-premises, if it's in Azure or any other cloud, I want to make sure that I have the right management agents on there so I can actually monitor it. I might want to back it up. How do I protect it? How do I get visibility across what's happening? And so the real power of desired state configuration is because it's declarative that Lavanya walked through, you can just state what you want the configuration to be. And so all this configuration script is doing is saying, I want to download the OMS agent from the web. I want to install it. And then I want to make sure that service, that MMA, Microsoft Management Agent, is always running on every single machine in my environment. And so once you author this script, which is very easy to author and read, it builds on the PowerShell syntax that you're probably mostly familiar with using PowerShell. You can literally author this single script. And then once you've authored the script, every machine now that you want to manage, you can just go ahead and assign one. So if I have this marketing machine here or any of these, you can just click into one. You can say, I want to assign this configuration to that. And they're now going to have the management agent installed guaranteed every single time. And even if someone stopped the service in there, uninstalled the agent for some reason, something happened, you can set, do you want to actually enforce that service always to be running, enforce the agent to be installed, or just give you alerts based on that. And so with that, it really gives you visibility across everything in your environment, as well as the ability to actually set what you want the configuration to be. And so we really leverage the power of PowerShell desired state configuration. And so you can author exactly what you want. From a simple thing like this, just get my agents deployed so I have management, all the way up to full end-to-end integration with your development teams. OK, so with that, I'm going to switch back just to, I want to make sure everyone could see how quickly they can get started with this and where they need to go inside of the portal in order to onboard. So one thing we've get a lot of questions when we talk with customers is we have this rich orchestration capability inside of automation and control, and we call it process automation. And really what it's about is writing runbooks, either graphically or in PowerShell, that allows you to integrate all your systems together so that you can deliver services on demand to your end users. You know, so the days of really, you know, opening up a request and then having to build out a machine and then once it's ready, sending the email back, the cloud has really pushed us towards how do we actually deliver on-demand services to our end users. And that's what process automation is about, is orchestrating all of the different tasks involved in delivering your end services. But you don't really want to set the configuration of all of your machines using process automation, because once you set them, you no longer have visibility into what's happening with them, and things can drift from what you actually thought the configuration was. And so this is really where you want to use desired state configuration with your process automation. And so those two together really give you that capability to take control and enforcement of your configuration inside your environment. And so I think the way to think about it is, anytime you know what the configuration is supposed to be on a server, either Windows or Linux, leverage desired state configuration to set that policy. Because once you set it, you get a lot of visibility into what's happening related to that configuration. So it might be a compliance rule you have that says, I want to make sure the proxy is always turned on by default. Every machine that's in production mode has to have the proxy installed. You can set that with three lines inside of that configuration script, and you're guaranteed every server will have that. But you might be orchestrating a larger process that you have to get an approval before you can deploy these production machines. There might be some applications you have to copy over. This is where the orchestration of integrating all those applications comes into play. And then the second thing is when you actually want to take operational tasks on top of those configurations. So maybe you need to clean up some temp log files. Maybe you have to turn on additional tracing to collect more information, or you're trying to orchestrate your update management. That's really when the power of process automation and our orchestration capabilities with runbooks come together. But the two really give you the tools to be able to do both of those together in a seamless way. That's one of the reasons we built all these capabilities into the service. OK, so I'm going to give you a quick overview there. And one of the reasons I want to bring up this slide is when we built out the desired state configuration service inside of the automation and control, we wanted to make sure that all of your existing processes you today are very seamless. So if your job is to ensure that virtual machines get delivered and configured a certain way to your end users, and maybe there's a database servers and there's web servers, or there's some application-based servers, you can actually do that very seamlessly with desired state configuration. But we didn't want to do that work and then not set you up for the future. And so there's a lot of scenarios now where the application teams and the operations teams are working seamlessly together. And so how do we make sure we build a service that can do what you need to do today, but also set you up for the future as you start to engage with your development teams? And so typically what's going on is this idea around DevOps, where there's continuous deployment, continuous updating of applications. And so with desired state configuration, there's now a common language that your development teams, your operations teams, everybody can use that says, this is how I want my infrastructure deployed, as well as my applications deployed. And leveraging the orchestration capabilities inside the servers, you can actually enforce policy as the code moves throughout the environment, all in a consistent and managed way. So I'm going to show you real quickly how that can be done. I'm not going to go into all the details of it, but I just want to kind of get across the point that you can start just making sure you have management of your environment, your policies are set, but that exact same tooling, that language, can now be used with your development and application teams so they can do end-to-end deployment and configuration. Okay, so I'm going to jump in real quick. So this is a typical example that your development teams might be doing where they're authoring away their code and they need to build a web application. They go ahead and test it. And then they're going to check in their changes. So I could just make a change here. It says, hello, welcome to Ignite, everyone. Last session. So often your application teams are working away, and they just need to make a quick change and get it out. How do you, as an operations team, enable them to actually make those changes, deploy everything out to their end virtual machines, but do it in a controlled and managed way? And so they'll go ahead and they'll test out this application and the changes they've just done. And then once they're happy, they want to be able to check this in and be able to get it out as fast as possible. And so you can see here, we just made a change with a nice typo, and we're going to deploy all that out. So typically what you'll see most teams do, if they could be using team services like I am here, or they could be using any other tooling that's available. That's really the power of our integration. They'll just check in, added session, check this in, and then they'll just typically go and say, OK, I'm good to go. I want to deploy this out. And they'll queue a new build. And so that's what your end developers really want to be able to do. And they want to be able to say, OK, now I want this deployed out. And your job is to say, OK, how do I make sure I have the infrastructure in place to support them, but also the management and configuration to enable them to do immediate end-to-end deployments? And so how this really works is, because we have integration with team services, they can actually trigger automation to control how the delivery of that build goes out. So let me walk you through kind of a more involved configuration script that allows you to build up these processes, but also integrate in with your development teams so they can set the configuration as well. So if I go back in here and I look at a more detailed configuration, I won't go through all of the lines of it, but it really just shows you the power that the service has. And so if I go in a little bit here into this configuration, hopefully people can see this. But this is a configuration that's been written that says the development teams wanted a web server. They need ASP.NET installed. They're going to be copying over all their source code or their build and their web files. And you want to be able to integrate all that together. So they would work on this configuration. You can work on this configuration because it's all using a common language that now is inherently supported inside of the service. What it allows you to do is to actually also put in the same type of controls you needed before. So it will also not just do what the development teams need to be successful with their application, it also allows you to apply your management and your compliance requirements from the operations team so that you can back it up, you can monitor it, you can ensure that that infrastructure and those applications are set up the way you need. And so here you can see in that same large configuration, I'm also installing the Microsoft Management Agent so that we get visibility across the application and you can manage it. And again, this is all declarative, so you only have to write a few lines of configuration files. You can share these with the development teams. They know what you're doing, you know what they're doing, and you can all work in a cohesive way, all leveraging the PowerShell desired state configuration capabilities. And if I go into one of these machines that gets deployed, I'm actually deploying this demo website configuration onto this marketing machine. And what we really tried to do was give you rich reporting on top of what's happening inside of there. So typically, you might deploy it all out, and then you just forget it. You just hope that the thing is going to stay up, and maybe some of your reporting tools or your diagnostics tools would catch issues that are going on. But as you who owns the configuration of these applications, you want to make sure that everything you stated is actually working correctly. And so you can see when I went to that configuration, it tells you exactly to the level of the resource what is going on and if it's compliant or not. And this goes all the way down to you want to set web applications up, I want to set firewall rules up. You can set those up, proxy rules, anything you need in your environment can be easily authored and applied, all the way down to ensuring that that Microsoft agent is installed and running. And Lavanya talked a little bit about the different reporting capabilities we have. So if you look at the bottom of the of here, you as a administrator can say, I want to apply and monitor so that I ensure that I only get visibility if any of changes are happening inside my environment. But we also allow you to do apply and autocorrect. And so if this service ever got stopped or anything changed, it will actually go back and set it automatically for you to ensure that that never happens again. And you can make sure that that web server, that agent is always running your environment. And that's very difficult to do today. And so in some ways, this is kind of transformational in how you manage your infrastructure. So instead of building up 20 different images of every single type, and then you have to worry about the applications that might get deployed on that, you now can actually just build up a few small base images for all the different scenarios your end users need. And then through configuration, you can actually write what those need to look like. And then you just apply this configuration on those base images, and you've built up exactly what they need, literally with just a few lines of configuration script. And the nice thing is they can also take advantage of that and apply their own configuration and policies to it. All right, so I'm going to actually go into maybe one here that's set up just so you can see the differences. This is an exact same one that I've set up. But if you look at the configuration mode on this one, I've set it to apply and autocorrect. And so this is the exact same configuration. It's just an option you have as an administrator on how you want these configurations to get applied across all your virtual machines, on-premises, Windows, Linux. It doesn't matter. As you can see here, I have Linux ones installed with LampStack. And if I look at one of those configurations, again, very simple to configure these configurations. So if I go down here, you can see on this one, they may just want a LampStack. And so you can apply Apache onto those base Linux OSs. You can install MySQL all by just specifying these in the same configuration and applying those to the environment. Okay, so with that, I'm going to hand back to, I think it's Lavanya, who's going to kind of follow up on the next area as we go through it. There we go.
So we heard about the two features that go hand in hand, right? We have DSC, which is a desired state configuration, which helps you configure your machines and keep them maintained in that state. And then we also have change tracking, which kind of allows you to have a complete look at your infrastructure at any given time and see what's happening in your infrastructure. Is anything changing? Do you want anything changed? If you have the ability to set alerts on certain nodes and machines using DSE and say, okay, if this is not compliant, just send me an alert, and that will work with your ITSM solutions. We'll be talking more in detail about the ITSM solutions and the integrations that we have later in the session. But the change tracking feature allows you to monitor your infrastructure. It allows you to go see, debug, and troubleshoot where the issue is. It also allows you to create an alert proactively. If something changes, notify me via email or via phone or whatever works best for you. So this called tracking, we actually track software changes. We track for Windows and Linux machines. For Windows, we actually have, we track software services. We track packages. For Linux, we track packages, updates, daemons. However, for Windows, we do have file tracking changes, and for Linux, for Windows, we have the file tracking changes enabled new for Ignite. We do have the registry changes coming up in the next few months. For Linux, the file tracking is also coming up in the next few months. We'll give you a quick overview on how it looks and what's available today. So you'll be able to correlate any changes. You'll be able to go dig in into individual areas and services to see what changed, what caused a failure, and then take actions based on those. So let me give you a quick overview on change tracking feature, what we have, and how to go debug or create an alert.
Good. Just while Lavanya's switching over, I think I was talking with a lot of customers during the week, and even the way we operate our own service, typically what happens is things are working until something has changed in the environment. That's usually the first thing you need to figure out is, was there a change that happened to my working system? And is that the change that's actually causing these problems? And so in an ideal world, if you knew exactly how the system's supposed to be configured, you would just set it with desired state configuration. Because you know what it is and you state it, and then it should never be changed from that because you can enforce it if you want to. But the reality is we live in a world where we don't always know what the desired state configuration is, nor do we always control what changes happen throughout the system, like updates get installed, applications might get changed. And so you want to be able to get the visibility through change tracking to understand not just purely based on what you said it was, which is our configuration, but what else is happening that you may not even be aware of, and then get that at visibility so when an incident happens, you can quickly understand what that is.
Thank you, Eamon. So Eamon already showed how to get to our solutions. Let me quickly go to the high-level solutions gallery. This is available at the OMS site. And if you go into the OMS site, you have the solutions gallery, and you can see the change tracking right here. That's what you click to go monitor and use the change tracking feature. Once you go into change tracking, this is the different feature. This is the different view that reports that you get. As you can see here, you have the changes summary, and here we have a custom setting. You can go say what's the window that you want to monitor and change. You can I have actually set from 6 hours or 1 day. To see for this purpose of this demo, you can make it a 7 day window, you can make it 1 day, you can make it 6 hours, right? For this demo, we have a 6 hour setting. And then you can actually drill down either by, if I go back. Here you can see that we are actually showing you the changes that's happening in your machines by configuration type. Whether what Windows services changed in that time period, what daemons changed in that time period, what software changes happened in that time period. We also have what applications changed. In the 6 hours, we didn't have any applications changed in our demo environment. We also have what packages have changed, and you will be able to drill down into individual ones to see what has actually changed. I'll go into it a little while later. And we also track all the services that have been changed. So if you look at it, you can actually configure your own searches. So on the right side is the queries, right? We have a built-in query for individual things that we are showing you out of the box, and you can customize these queries to go see what is that you want to see, right? And you, at any given point of time, you can go set your query, set the time period, and monitor what you want to monitor, right? And here, you can see that you can either go see all the Windows services that has changed, or you can go see what has changed across board at a particular given time, right? And you'll be able to go drill in into individual ones. And as you see, for the ones that you see the reports, we have the query here, type equals configuration type, which is Windows services. But you can go change this and then see what you want to see in your infrastructure. And again, individually, you can go see a list view that will tell you everything that's changed in this time period in all the Windows services. And you'll know what is running, what is stopped, what's happening with the individual services. And on the left side, you can actually see filter further based on computers. So if I want to know what's happening in my HR app front end, for example, I can go click on this, and it'll kind of tell me what's happening with that particular machine and what went wrong. Now, for example, if you have a payroll system with a, you know, a front end and a back end, front end being a web server, Windows web server, and a back end being a Linux server, and something went wrong and it didn't work, and you want to go troubleshoot what happened. So you can go into the previous page that I showed you, drill down into the time when the incident occurred. And then here we are already in the HR front end website. You can see what's happening here. Right now it's not running, and if it is stopped, you'll basically see that it's modified and it has stopped. So you know that that particular VM has stopped for whatever reason. And later on, when we are showing you the service desk integration, I'll show you how to trigger an alert or file an incident, right? But here you can actually go and create an alert on any machine that you want monitored at any given time. If something goes wrong with this machine, alert me, right? You can just go to this alert, file an alert. You can have email notification set for yourself. And then, or you can even take actions if something goes wrong using the runbook here. You can set it to yes, and then have your automation take care of taking action on those alerts. We'll do a more detailed demo end of the session to see how, if you have an incident, you can use your existing service desk or incident management system to go take action on it. And one other thing that we have right now is the file tracking, and I'll show you how to set any file that you want to track, right? If you go here into the settings, you have data. So here the connected sources is where you list all your sources, all the sources that you need to be tracked. And then here in the data, you can scroll down and you can see Windows change tracking. So we don't have this feature yet for Linux, but it's coming up in the next few months. And here you can enter any file or path that you want to monitor. And once you add it here, those will be monitored as part of your change tracking system. And you can again set alerts based on those or take actions or go debug and troubleshoot and at any given time see what's happening there.
I think the one thing to call out there too, I think everyone got it, but when you were looking at those changes, it wasn't just changes that were happening across one single type like Windows services. You get visibility of changes across everything. And the changes weren't just for, are they just on-premises machines? They can be on-premises machines or Azure machines, Windows machines, or Linux machines. All of that data is basically being pulled into the log analytics capabilities we have inside of the service. And then all of that rich insights around what's changing is now visible to you. So it allows you to quickly drill in, get that guided troubleshooting just by zeroing in on the time range, the server, the type of change it is. You can identify what the issue is, and then it's very easy from there to actually go troubleshoot and figure out, is the application wrong because of a change, or is there something else I need to escalate maybe to my app teams to go troubleshoot because it's an application-related area?
Yeah, so the HR app front end server, right? If you see here at 1:31, the state changed from running to stopped. Something went wrong with the machine that the machine stopped. And then we filed an incident, and then we had the service just take care of it. And then at a few minutes later, you see that the machine has been restarted. So you can also see when the machine was stopped, when it was restarted, what changed. And here on the left side, you can actually see the config change type, which is Windows services, and the category is modified. So the state was modified from running to stopped and vice versa. So in the left side, you'll be able to filter what you want to see as well, in whether it's category or service type and anything. So combine this with your DSE. It's a really powerful tool to take control of your infrastructure and know what's happening there. And we also have many more cool features that gets added onto the service that will help you really monitor and manage your infrastructure better. Now I'll be handing over to Eamon to give you a quick overview on what kind of ITSM integrations we have in place. And then we'll give you a quick demo of what we have today. It's fine.
Great, Lavanya. So I think one of the things we just know working with our enterprise customers over the last 2 years is changes really aren't supposed to happen in your environment unless they go through usually some change board or some system you have in place to actually do these changes. That's the ideal world on how changes happen, and typically that's what's followed. The nice thing about the work we've done with change tracking and then leveraging desired state configuration is that can no longer is the only source of truth in your organization. Because typically what will happen is, yes, there's a change board to go through, but how do you actually know those changes happened? Or are there changes happening in your environment that didn't go through your change system? And now there's a problem because something's broken down in your processes, and how do you actually kind of iterate and make that process better and better over time? And so the work we wanted to do was make sure we could integrate into your traditional ITSM solutions and be able to understand what changes were actually approved through that system, see if they match what's actually happening in your environment, not just what was said that happened. And then based on that knowledge, how do you bring that knowledge back into your ITSM solution so that that change, if it happened, you can escalate it up, understand why, and try to make your processes better over time. And so that's kind of a critical scenario we wanted to make sure we started to integrate directly into the service. And so what we've done really is we've integrated all of these now are basically in private preview. If you were at any of the booths today during the week for ServiceNow and some of our other partners, we actually had demos running of the integration with Operations Management Suite with these ITSM partners so that you can start to bring that knowledge they have with the operational capabilities we have inside of OMS and unify those two things together. And the typical scenarios we see working in this space is the first one is around self-service. So generally, how customers or your end users get access to all of the services you offer inside of IT is through some ITSM solution. And so you typically have a service catalog maybe that says, if you want a virtual machine, go up to our service catalog, request it inside of there. Maybe it needs an approval from your manager, maybe it doesn't. Maybe there's limits on how much size you have, how long you can lease it for. You know, all those kind of requirements can be gathered through the self-service catalog capabilities in your ITSM. And then the fulfillment of that request can happen seamlessly with our automation and control service inside of OMS. So we'll do all the heavy lifting to ensure everything gets laid down correctly, either using desired state configuration, using our process automation, our orchestration capabilities, but how do we close the loop with that service catalog capability as well as the implementation of that request in this in on-premises or Azure, Windows or Linux. And then the second level of integration we've been working with these partners on is how do you get incidents back not only from Operations Management Suite, because we have the truth of what's actually going on inside of your environment, but surface those back into your ITSM solution so those events, those alerts that you're getting can be pushed into those solutions so you can see incidents and actually try to resolve those incidents using your normal processes. And then the last one is around alert remediation. So if you do get alerts, how do you actually create specific alerts into the ITSM solution so that they can go and take action? But our real goal is trying to close the loop here. We don't just want to have, you know, your ITSM solution as a place where you enter in all this data and then you go over somewhere else when you actually have to do something to implement it. We want to be able to seamlessly bring all the data that's required into your ITSM solution, and then as the ITSM solutions want to take an action, they call into our automation and control service and we fulfill that action for them. And so this really allows you now to unify your environment across your enterprise so that you can take all of the actions you need to, plus all of the service catalog capabilities, troubleshooting, incident management, all as a unified solution. And so Lavanya is going to do a quick view. If you're interested in some of the integration, you'd like to get involved with these partners and ourselves, and you're actually using any of these, please come up afterwards. We'd love to get some information, and we can follow up with you to actually get started using this. But what Lavanya is going to do for a few minutes is actually go through some of these capabilities we have so you can see how it's going to work and how you could use it yourself in the organization by unifying ITSM with OMS in a complete end-to-end process. Okay, so I'm going to switch over to Lavanya for a few minutes. And after she's done, I'm going to kind of go back to that demo I kicked off initially and try to give you some insight into how that got stitched together so you see all of the end-to-end capabilities we have with process automation and configuration, and then go from there. Perfect.
Thank you.
You want to, are you here?
Yeah. So I'm going to continue from where I left off. So in the change tracking demo, we saw that we can, when we have a problem, we can go to the individual time frame and then check on the machine, check on the service to see what went wrong. And we saw that one of the things that went wrong was the machine actually stopped. Right, and so we want to notify the service desk and say, hey, something has gone wrong, and we think it's because the machine stopped, and we want to file an incident, right? So we go here and click on alert and say ignite test mission.
I think your spelling is as good as mine, Lavanya.
Start VM. And if you see, we pre-populate the query here so that the service desk technician can actually go there and see what they have to take a look at. And the severity is critical. Right now, we are going to say the time. So we have an alert frequency, right? We can alert this every 15 minutes till the issue is resolved, or you can make it 1 hour if it's not too critical, or if it's a warning or an informational one. And then you can also set the alert based on how many alerts did I get in 15 minutes? Did I get 5 in 15 minutes? Then please, we need to get it resolved right away, right? For now, I'm going to say even if you get one alert, please go and restart the machine. And you can have an email notification sent to you on the status on what's happening once the alert is filed. And then say incident alert. And here, since it's a service desk incident that I'm going to file, I'm not going to worry about the runbook or the webhook to trigger an automation. I'm going to go say yes to service desk actions. And here, you need to select the connection. So some of you might have ServiceNow as your ITSM solution. Some of you might have Provon. Some of you might have Cherwell or something else that you're working on. Today, we have integration with these three partners. We are working very closely with them based on the feedback that we heard from some of you on what is really important to you to start with. And we are continuously gathering feedback on your in scenarios, your service desk tools, and partners you work with so that we can continuously improve and integrate with more solutions. So I'm going to say Provon, for example, and then say work item is an incident, impact significant, urgency high, category OMS alert, and say mission stopped. And then I say save. Now this sends the alert to Provon. Now I can do the same thing with ServiceNow and say, okay, I have an alert and that's gone. Now I'll quickly show you both Provon and ServiceNow integration that we have. Now for now, I'm going to show you ServiceNow and say, so in ServiceNow, we actually have the integration. Let me show you. You have an Azure automation module that's built into your ServiceNow portal. And here you actually can import all your, giving your Azure subscription and automation account details, you can actually download all your automation accounts that you have in your subscription and download all your runbooks, all your resources that are needed for your runbooks, and you can access them from ServiceNow. And this kind of helps you in your self-service as well, not just taking actions from an OMS-based alert. If you want to have a service catalog for your company and provide a lot of automated services like provisioning a VM, resizing a SQL, you could have them as individual catalog items here. Or when an incident comes like here, the ignite test. So this is something I set last night to make sure that we are able to show you the demo. Okay. So you can see in the incident that what we filed is here along with the data for the service desk technician to go take a look. Now the service desk now can go to their service catalog and say, for instance, if this is a create VM incident that we filed, right, create provisioning, you can go to the service catalog. You go to the item that you've created and say create VM demo, for example, or SQL resize, whatever you have added in your, right. And here I say ignite test. I choose the VM size. And then I say region, SKU. So this is all customizable, completely customizable by your IT department. And by you if you are providing the service, and say Sorry? I don't think your VM name is that space. Oh. Yeah, sorry. And then here you can specify the price based on the configuration and SKU and say order now. Now this will actually trigger Azure Automation Runbook in the background. And you can actually see the status right here. Right now, it's waiting for approval, right? So you can actually integrate the approval process, and which will in turn trigger the automation based on that. So now I'm going to basically go back. I'm going to show you how to approve just because being an approver here. And come down. So you have this approval that just came in for the request that we made. And your approver can approve. If they reject, you get an email saying something has gone wrong. If you approve, this will start a workflow that will start the Azure Automation Runbook in the background. And you can actually go in and see. So we have two tasks here. One is the create VM, and other is the provisioning resources. These are two different runbooks. You can kind of have multiple runbooks in your same catalog item and have them get triggered one after another, or you can have them all executed as part of one single workflow. And if you go back to your status here in the jobs, you can see that the create VM is running. And here you can actually click on this and get logging information and what's happening with the job. These are the input that we selected right now, and then we are waiting for the job output. Now, in the interest of time, I'm not going to wait to show you that the VM has been created. We can see that it's running and everything is happening. Now, let me go back to Provence and to quickly show you what kind of integration we have with Provence. This is very similar to what we have. It's just the implementation is different. Provence is a Microsoft CRM-based solution. And here they have their ITSM integration integrated right here under the operations. And when an incident comes from OMS, it gets filed under this. And when you go into filing a self-service request, like how we did with ServiceNow, we go here, we file a new one. Now, once this is done, we are also integrating and making sure that the data goes back into OMS log analytics, like Eamon mentioned, so that you have a two-way communication and you have your detailed report and know what happened with an incident and what action was taken and what the current status. Right. So here, you go file. Ignite. Machine request. Here, the way Provence is implemented is you have a ticket template. So if the service desk technician doesn't know what parameters are actually needed, for instance, you can actually pre-populate and create a ticket template for each of the items. For create VM, you could have one template. For restart a VM, you could have one template that pre-populates some of the items. So for now, I'm going to show you the two that we have. Oh, this is so slow. Okay, so we have resize SQL instance, for example, and I click on this. It will populate all the necessary fields that are needed for this customer, including any approver details and the customer contacts, everything, and whatever is needed for the resize. And then I say save. So here, it's saving right here, if you can see on the rightmost corner. Here, this is implemented using a webhook. So if you see the ServiceNow integration, we have done using REST API calls. And then here it's a webhook. So we have different features in Azure Automation that helps you to integrate Azure Automation with your service desk solutions. You can use APIs, you can use a webhook call, which is very straightforward and simple as well. So again, in this case, for the purpose of demo, I have the approval capabilities, so I'm just going to go here and say approve the request. Once it's done, if not, the email will be sent to the person who actually needs to approve this. Okay. And then you say fulfill and close. And I'll go back here. So you have the different runbooks that are used. And set Azure SQL Database Edition is the one that gets called for the resize. And if you go into the runbooks, it's queued. And so it's a very straightforward integration that we have. It's simple right now. We are continuously gathering feedback from all of you. So stop by after the session if you have any specific scenarios that you think will add value here. And also, if you want to sign up for any of the, this is not available yet, but we are getting sign-up information for private preview. If you're one of the customers using ServiceNow or Provence or Cherwell, please do stop by. We have our product marketing manager, Praveen, here collecting information from you, and we'll be happy to sign you up for the preview that will be coming up in the next few weeks. And then you can give it a try and give us early feedback and what we need to improve and what other levels of integration you'd like to see here. With that, I think you kind of got an overall picture about how to tie DSE and change tracking and the service desk. Any questions, we are here, and we'll be able to give you a more detailed response. Thank you.